Welcome.
Hey, is this what the 90s were like? Not that I would know. I'm just kidding. Hey, check it out. I was actually a kid in the 90s. I know it's hard to believe. I'm a pastor's kid. It was my job to run the overhead projector with the acetates. Is anyone else old enough to remember that? Let me see. Do you remember that? Like, you ever see it like upside down? And it's all, that was the first time I heard tongues in worship. I'm just kidding. And my name is James. If you're a guest or a visitor, let me just welcome you. It's not usually like this. As Tim mentioned, we're having some technical issues today, but it is what it is. I wanted to give a quick pitch for our small group fair, which is happening out in our hardscape. Really, really quick. Check it out. You are never going to find that freedom that you're looking for in your life until you get in a small group, okay? Because there are just some things that we can't do in church. You know, in church is great for getting to know God, for worshiping together, for learning from the Bible. But, you know, in the best book of the Bible, does anyone know what the best book of the Bible is? It's the book of James. You guys are so smart. Listen, the book of James tells us that when we confess to another brother and then they pray for us, then what happens? Then we are healed. And there are some things in our lives that we just need to find someone, a group of people that we can trust so that we can take our masks off, so that we can finally tell them, hey, here's what I've been struggling with. Here's what I've been dealing with. Here's what's really going on in my life. Would you pray for me? And that's where we find freedom. So, all that being said, check out our small group fair afterwards so that you can find freedom in your life by finding a group of brothers and sisters of other Christians who can be with you, who can walk with you through your faith journey, okay? So, we are going to be learning from God's Word, the Bible, today. And the first piece of scripture we're going to be looking at is Psalm 139, verse 7. So if you have a Bible with you, maybe an app on your phone or your watch or your laptop or your tablet or your microwave, whatever it is that you brought with you today. Technology is amazing, huh? Why don't you open up to Psalm 139, verse 7. And then we are also going to receive our offering. So if the ushers could please come forward. And I am going to pray for our offering and also that God would speak to us through his word, the Bible. But first of all, I want to thank those of you who faithfully and generously give to God through our church. You know, if it wasn't for your generosity, man, we wouldn't be able to minister to or reach nearly the amount of people that we do here at VC. You know, last year we water baptized like way over 500 people. And part of the reason we're able to do that is because of your generosity. God uses that money to transform lives in our community. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's pray for our offering and also that God would speak to us. Father, I thank you that we can gather here today to worship you no matter what is going on, Lord. You are faithful, you are always good. So would you be with us today, Lord, and as we give to you a portion of our income, would you use that money to transform lives in our church, in our community, and really all around the world, Lord? And bless us as the giver. We know that you are faithful and we can trust you in this matter. And God, would you speak to us through your word, the Bible, today? Would you open our hearts? Would you open our minds? Would you open our ears to whatever it is that you want to teach us today, God? We are here for you. And it's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Let me start with a simple question. If I asked you, where is God, what would you say? Yep, some of you are saying, God is in heaven. You might say, God is in my heart. Some people believe that God is like literally in the church. He comes, he opens up the doors on like Sunday morning, and then he checks out, goes take a nap after service. But scripture tells us a different story, doesn't it? The Bible says that God is everywhere. His presence fills everything. And King David, he tries to wrap his mind around this in Psalm 139. And here's what he writes, picking up at verse 7. He says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride with the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. David is saying, God, you are inescapable. And like not in a bad way. It's more like a child realizing that no matter how far they wander off in the grocery store, that dad is somehow always just one aisle away. God never has to travel anywhere because, you know, he's already there. Jeremiah confirms this. This is God speaking in Jeremiah 23, 24. He says, can anyone hide from me? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and all the earth? There is not a single point in the universe where God is absent. Not the highest heaven, not the lowest valley, not the darkest moment, not the hospital room, not the late night drive home after a tough day at work. God is everywhere. Theologians have a fancy word for this. They call it omnipresence, the omnipresence of God. And that word, it just means God is not limited to space or time. He's not confined to a location. He's not bound by walls, borders, or time zones. Now, you're not waiting for him to show up. He's not traveling. He's not on his way when he's really getting in the car. He is there. He is here right now. Now, that's hard for us to imagine because, you know, we are stuck in one body in one place at one time. Now, you and I can't be at two places at once. Any parents can relate to the struggle of that. But God isn't like us. He doesn't have the limitations that we have. And once you learn how to tune into that reality, it changes how you see everything. You know, God's presence, it isn't just a theological concept. It's meant to be a daily resource, a lifeline, a steadying force in every kind of moment. And then that leads us to the question behind today's message. Where is God when you really need him? Because it's one thing to say God is everywhere, and it's another to feel like he's with you when life feels really heavy. So I want to show you today how God's presence actually benefits your life in real, practical ways. Now, when you realize God is everywhere, that truth doesn't just sit in your mind. It begins to interact with real moments in real life. His presence becomes something you lean on, something that steadies you when circumstances feel unpredictable. Scripture shows us that God meets us in very human experiences, the places where we often feel uncertain or even overwhelmed. Let's walk through those places together. The first way that God's presence benefits my life is that when I'm lonely, God is my companion. Loneliness is one of the growing issues of our time. In fact, it's been described as an epidemic. I thought we were done with epidemic. And it's not a recent issue either. Pre-COVID, the before times, 50% of Americans already reported feeling lonely, and that number's only gone up. According to a Harvard study in 2024, it affects men just as much as it affects women. And loneliness doesn't care who you voted for. Republicans and Democrats both experience the same rate of loneliness according to this study. Loneliness is sneaky. It doesn't always arrive with a dramatic announcement. You know, sometimes it builds quietly. You might be surrounded by coworkers scrolling through messages in a group chat or sitting next to someone you love, but you still feel like this disconnect. King David, he spoke to God from this place in Psalm 25. He said, "Turn to me, be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." This is a king. Loneliness wears many faces. No, there's the kind that appears in the evenings when the house finally goes quiet. There's the kind that hits you on your lunch break when no one really knows what you've been carrying. There's the kind that shows up after a major life transition. You know, maybe your kids are leaving home. Maybe your marriage is failing. Maybe you've moved to a new city. There's the kind that hides behind a busy schedule and a carefully maintained image. But here's the good news. Into that ache, God says to you, "I will never desert you, and I will never abandon you." God promises that. And God doesn't break his promises, does he? He will never back away from the difficult parts of your heart. He is the friend who sits with you when you don't have words. He is the companion who doesn't need explanations or polished answers. King David reflects on what that companionship feels like. He says, "In your presence is fullness of joy." And this joy here, it isn't loud, it isn't hype. It's the kind of joy that fills the cold spaces inside of you. It's the warmth you feel when a room finally lights up after you've been sitting in the dark for too long. Listen, God doesn't wait for your loneliness to end. He walks beside you through it. Now, the second way that God's presence benefits me is that when I am worried, God is my confidence. Have you ever noticed how worry often starts as like a whisper and then it can grow into this emotional storm? You know, your mind rehearses worst case scenarios, your chest tightens, you lose sleep replaying conversations or imagining outcomes that literally may never happen. And then God speaks directly into that moment through the book of Isaiah saying, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched." Here's something you need to know. The Bible doesn't pretend life is gentle or easy, does it? It acknowledges deep waters and fiery seasons, but it also promises God's companionship through every single bit of it. Think of the last time you walked into a situation you weren't ready for, you know, like an unexpected bill, a tense meeting at work, a health scare, a fractured relationship, and you felt the pressure rise, and for a moment you wondered if you'd be swallowed by the weight of it. God's presence doesn't eliminate the waves of life, but it changes how they hit you. It's like someone steadying the boat while you're gripping the sides. You know, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You may have heard this story. It's from this show called VeggieTales. They would not bow down to the bunny. You guys are from the 90s. I love it. They were thrown into this furnace because they refused to worship and bow down to this Babylonian idol. Now, I would have been like, "Hey, God, what if they didn't get thrown into the furnace?" But when they were thrown into the furnace, what happened? There was a fourth man in there with them. And when the men walked out, nothing about them smelled like what they had been through. Do you get it? Some people emerge from trials carrying the residue of what they endured, but others emerge with a kind of calm that can only be explained by the presence of someone who is greater walking them through it. God doesn't protect you from the furnace. He walks through the furnace with you. David describes this kind of confidence in the book of Psalms 16, verse 8. He says, I know the Lord is always with me. My body rests in safety. When God is near you, your internal world settles, even if the external world doesn't. And then you can proclaim with confidence, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God, you are with me. Confidence comes from his companionship, not from circumstances. Now, the third way that God's presence benefits my life is that when I'm tempted, God provides a way out. Temptation is a universal human experience. Nobody escapes it. Even Jesus faced temptation. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. Highlight that word common, because it actually carries comfort. It means you're not the only one who has felt this struggle. It means God has seen it before and he has already prepared an exit route. You know, temptation often feels like a moment that's already in motion, like a car rolling down a hill. But God's presence, he introduces like a pause, a moment of clarity that interrupts the momentum, and suddenly you see a choice that you didn't notice before. Proverbs puts it simply. Proverbs 15 verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Now listen, that's not to say that God is like the eye of Sauron from Lord of the Rings, continually casting his gaze across the land, waiting for you to slip up so he can make you feel bad. It's saying that God is watching out for you. He always has your back. When you are feeling tempted to lie, to click on that picture you probably shouldn't, to entertain that thought, tune yourself into the fact that God is in the room with you at that moment providing a way out. And then you'll notice that the emotional power of temptation begins to shift. And then as you bring that to the Lord, it becomes illuminated. Not exposed to shame, but exposed to the grace of God. You know, temptation loses its strength when light enters into the moment. That battle becomes a little easier when you're not trying to fight it by yourself anymore. And then finally, the fourth way that God's presence benefits my life is that when I'm discouraged, God is my comforter. You know, discouragement often shows up quietly. It doesn't always come with a crisis. Sometimes it's like a slow erosion, like death by a thousand disappointments. Little hits to your hope over weeks or months, and suddenly you realize that you're tired and you've lost all confidence and enthusiasm. Do you feel like that today? This is what God says. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. When your heart breaks, God doesn't move away. He doesn't go find a more happy person to hang out with. He moves closer to you. Jesus knew heartbreak, and that's why he asked the Father in John 14, verse 16, to send a helper. He said, I will ask the Father, he will give you a helper. And that helper is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not the kind of helper who stands across the room shouting advice at you. The Holy Spirit is the kind of helper who comes so close enough that you can hear him in the still small whisper. Amen? And not only that, the Holy Spirit carries some of that weight with you. Again, King David reflects back on his life and he sees God's fingerprints all over moments he once thought he was walking through alone. David said, God, he has saved me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. And maybe today you need to reflect back on all of the times you thought you were down and out and ask God to reveal where he was in that situation, because I know that he was with you. Discouragement narrows your vision, but God's presence widens it again to make room for hope. And his hope restores the strength you thought was lost. So now that we've looked at four ways that God's presence benefits us, and I hope it's become clear how important his presence is, the question becomes, how do I walk in the presence of the Lord? Like, I want this. How do I do this? If God is always present, the real challenge isn't getting him to come near, is it? The real challenge is learning how to live with a growing awareness of the God who is already beside you. Because listen, his presence is not fragile. It doesn't flicker in and out like a weak radio signal as you drive up to Sedona. But our awareness of his presence does. It's a little like adjusting to a dimly lit room. When you first walk in, everything feels shadowed and hard to make out. But then if you pause for long enough, your eyes adapt, and then the outline of the room becomes clear. What felt hidden was there the whole time. You just needed to take a moment to see it. Walking in the presence of God develops the same way. It's not like a single spiritual moment. It's a way of life you grow into as you practice a few simple but meaningful rhythms. So for the rest of our time today, I'm going to give you four steps to help you to become more aware of God's presence. And then we're going to spend just a little bit of time practicing that. So the first way to become more aware of God's presence is to completely surrender your life to Jesus. You have to completely surrender your life to him. Awareness begins with surrender. And listen, surrender is not always this like road to Damascus, dramatic emotional collapse. For many of us, it's a quiet but decisive moment where you allow Jesus to lead your life rather than asking him to simply support it. Because if we just take a moment to be completely honest, I think often we just want God's help and we don't want God's direction, right? We want his comfort but not his correction, or his strength without giving him access to the places where we feel weak. But God's presence becomes real in your life when you stop giving him partial access and allow him into the places that you've been holding back from him. Surrender is essentially permission. It's saying, God, I want you to shape my life from the inside, not from a distance. And then when you give him that permission, your internal landscape begins to change. You know, these patterns that once seemed impossible to break, they start loosening. Old wounds will begin to heal. You know, you didn't experience when you relied on just self-help, memes, and willpower. And then moments that used to crush you start to begin to feel survivable. Think of it like handing your life over to a surgeon who actually knows what they're doing. The healing comes from his hands, not from yours. Your role is just to be willing. So the second part, the second step to become more aware of God's presence is, and this is a hard one, quiet yourself down. You need to quiet yourself down. Awareness grows in quiet environments. Not necessarily silent environments, but quiet ones. You know, we live inside a constant stream of noise, notifications, conversations, background music, podcasts, you know, the pace of our schedules, the endless stream of information that never really stops. And let me tell you, when your mind is constantly flooded, it becomes difficult to notice the subtle movement of the Holy Spirit. Now, stillness, it isn't about escaping the world. It's about slowing the world down long enough to regain that heavenly perspective. Now, just as God promises in Psalm 46, he says to us, hey, be still and know that I am God. Be still. That short command is shockingly practical. Stillness helps you remember what is true. It allows your internal pace to settle enough that you can hear the quiet things, like your own thoughts, your own needs, and the gentle guidance of God. Now, this doesn't require long stretches of solitude. It can happen in moments that already exist in your day. You know, a brief pause before you walk into a conversation. A moment at the kitchen sink before your household erupts into activity. The silence in your car before you pull out of the driveway. Just a slow breath while you're standing in line at the grocery store. These micro moments act like spiritual reset buttons. They create enough space for your awareness to recalibrate. And then you'll begin to notice God's nearness in ways that were very easy to miss when everything around you is moving so fast. That stillness clears the fog so his presence can be seen again. Now, the third step for us to become more aware of God's presence is to talk to God about everything. You know, Paul's instruction to pray without ceasing, it often kind of seems intimidating because, well, if you're anything like me and you have a toddler at home, you just go like that, like, ah! That like non-stop verbal blah. But continual prayer is far more relational than that. It's like a posture. It's not a performance. A helpful picture is to imagine traveling with someone that you know really well. You ever been on a road trip? Like, the conversation isn't constant, but the connection is. You're aware of their presence. You include them in what's happening. You turn to them when something requires attention, and you share the moments that unfold. See, that's what your prayer life looks like. It becomes the natural way you move through the world, you know, bringing God into the things that matter to you instead of waiting for a crisis to start the conversation. You might find yourself reflecting on something that happened earlier and sensing God's wisdom settle in. Or you might be facing a decision that feels unclear and feel the internal nudge to slow down instead of rushing into this moment. Now, these are moments when gratitude rises unexpectedly and you find yourself acknowledging God in that moment without even really thinking about it. Sometimes you'll simply sense a steadiness that wasn't there before, a quiet assurance that God is helping you carry what used to overwhelm you. And of course, this connection deepens, not because you talk more, but because you talk naturally. Prayer turns into a way of living rather than a task on your spiritual to-do list. And then finally, the fourth step is to develop the habit of praise. Praise heightens your awareness of God by redirecting the attention of your heart. Gratitude shifts your internal posture. It doesn't deny the challenges of life, but it reframes them in the context of God's faithfulness. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name." Saying praise is a doorway. It opens your heart to the reality that God has been at work in ways that you didn't see. It brings clarity to the emotional fog. It interrupts mental spirals that used to run wild. It moves your attention from what's missing to what God is already doing in the middle of that furnace. And it doesn't require a worship team or a church building or even a PA, apparently. It can happen in small, sacred moments scattered throughout your ordinary day. You might notice a moment of kindness and feel gratitude rise. You might remember something God brought you through and feel a sense of appreciation surface. Or you might catch yourself carrying tension that you didn't notice and feel the quiet reminder that God has not stepped away from you. Praise doesn't have to be loud to be real. Sometimes it's simply acknowledging that God is good even when life is complicated. And that alone begins tuning your heart towards God's nearness. Over time, these four practices will begin to shape the inner texture of your life. You'll begin noticing emotional patterns shifting. Things that once weighed heavily on you will sit differently. You'll respond to difficulty with more steadiness than before. You'll make decisions with clarity that didn't come naturally in past seasons. See, when you walk in God's presence, your spiritual capacity starts growing in the same way. You're not escaping difficulty. You're becoming someone who can navigate it with a different kind of strength. You begin recognizing the Holy Spirit guiding you in subtle but unmistakable ways. Those quiet impressions that help you to avoid unnecessary conflict. A moment of clarity when you're about to make a rushed decision. Now, these are not coincidences. This is what it feels like to become aware more of God's presence. To become aware of the fact that He is walking with you. And my friends, walking with God is not reserved for saints and pastors. It's something anyone can experience. Anyone willing to hand their life over to Jesus, to slow their pace down enough to listen and to engage with God throughout the day, cultivating a heart of gratitude. God hasn't moved away from you. God is not distant. He hasn't withdrawn. More often than not, He's been closer than we realized. Our awareness helps us to finally see that. So as we bring this message to a close, I want to give you a chance to not just hear about God's presence, but to become aware of it in a real and personal way. You know, we've talked about surrender, stillness, prayer, and praise, but nothing can replace these moments when you open your heart and simply let God meet you. Now, sometimes your awareness grows naturally in worship, not because singing earns you anything, but because worship quiets the noise around you long enough for your soul to recognize what's already true, that God is near and He's ready to meet you right where you are. So if you're able, will you join me in standing? And as we enter into this time of worship, listen, don't worry about hitting the right notes. Tim's going to do that for you. Don't worry about doing the church thing the right way. Just slow down internally. Let the worship wash over you. Let your heart settle. Let God draw close to you in a way that's personal to you. You may need to close your eyes. You may want to kneel down. There's no like magic trick. Just do whatever you need to do to connect with God. And then after this song, I'll come back and close the service.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. Have been so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Sing all my life. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will say of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after them. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Oh, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Hey, could our ministry team please come forward? You know, here at the Vineyard, we love to pray for people. So if there's anything that you would like to receive prayer for, don't miss out on that opportunity today. It might be related to the message that we had this morning. It could be completely unrelated. You might need to receive some physical healing, emotional, relational healing. You may need help with your finances. Whatever it is, sometimes the best thing that you can do is come and share that situation with another brother or sister in Christ and have them pray for you. And then hopefully experience some kind of healing in that moment. And I'm just going to say a quick blessing over all of us, and then I'll dismiss the service. Don't forget to check out our small group fair out in the hardscape. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you that we can come here to worship you and experience you, God, no matter what is going on around us in our lives and around the world. Father, we trust you. We thank you for your faithfulness. And would you bless my friends here today? Would you pour out your favor? Would you help us to become more aware of your presence as we walk through our day-to-day lives, Lord? I thank you that you are always close to us. And Jesus, it's in your powerful name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you so much, guys, for being here today. We're starting a brand new sermon series next weekend with Pastor Brian. You're not going to want to miss it. Check out the small group fair, and we'll see you next week.